In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have an interesting occurrence with our readings today, so I want to highlight both the epistle and the gospel reading, which often do not go very rarely, in fact, they go together. But we read today here as we prepare for the feast of our Lord's Nativity in the flesh, as we prepare for Christmas, this parable, often referred to as the parable of the great banquet, which is found only in Luke's gospel. And the meaning of this parable is quite clear. I don't think there are anyone in the scholarly world, any of the fathers and so forth, that would dispute what this parable is about. Very specifically, what it is about is the fact that there were people among the Jews, especially those super religious people among the Jews, who had been called to the great banquet, who had been called to the feast of our Lord. And they made excuses, and we'll get to that in a minute, about why they couldn't attend. And so because they made excuses and because this master was not to be mocked in having a great banquet and no one was there, he said, go out a little bit further beyond and invite people to come in. This is calling in to the kingdom those Jewish outcasts, the people who were ritually impure, the people who were excluded from being part of the temple or the synagogue community because of something going on in their lives. And of course, here we see that Jesus, through this parable, is inviting them in, and yet there's still room. And so Jesus says in this parable that the man, the master, says, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, the calling of the Gentiles. In other words, the master is going to make sure that his table is full on that final day in the heavenly kingdom. The question is, will we decide to show up? Or will we make excuses? And what's so interesting about the excuses that were made, and I don't want to go into it in detail, I know I've done it before in other homilies, I'm sure some of you have forgotten. I can't believe you would ever forget any of my words, but I'm sure you've forgotten them. I've forgotten a lot of my own words, so don't feel too bad. But some of you haven't heard, but the point is that these excuses, we're not going to go through them one by one, but all three of the excuses that were offered are excuses that, according to the Old Testament, according to the law, were excuses that people could use not to go to war for their country. In other words, it would be like back, you know, some of you are old enough to remember, hopefully none of us have to deal with this again, but when there was a draft in this country, your number came up. You had to go, unless you had a very good excuse. Or, you know, you had a lot of money and things like that. But the point being, for most people, it was just whether you had a good excuse. Well, these are great excuses, according to the law, that a person could offer and say, you know, I can't go to war right now, even though we're defending our country. I can't be part of that because I have these things going on. So these excuses that were offered were actually the only excuses you could use to avoid being drafted. So Jesus is telling us that in His kingdom it's different. It's more serious than even a war to defend your country. You can have no excuses whether or not you follow Him. And that brings us to the epistle that we have today. And the reason that these two happen to go together today is because it's December 15th. And on December 15th in the Orthodox Church, we commemorate the holy hieromartyr Eleftherios. Eleftherios lived in what is modern-day Albania, Illyria or Illyricum it's called at the time. And St. Eleftherios grew up in the late 1st century and was martyred in the early 2nd century. St. Eleftherios grew up His father was in the imperial court, so it means he was a big wig in Roman society. And Eleftherios had everything he would have needed to be successful, to be wealthy, to be someone who was in a high position. But he decided to give this up. His mother had secretly become a Christian, and this was a time, of course, when Christians were greatly persecuted, especially there towards the end, the late first century. His mother did so quietly, but she taught Eleftherios about the faith. He also decided to live as a Christian and not serving the Roman pagan gods. Eventually, in fact, he was made a bishop. So great was his faith and his witness of his life. And ultimately, he was martyred because he refused to recant. He refused to go back on his Christianity. And so he was martyred by, I believe it was, the Emperor Hadrian. And his mother, who was still alive at the time, witnessed his martyrdom and came and gave him a hug, came to mourn after he was martyred. And she too then was martyred because of her Christian faith. And that's why we have today's reading from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, where Paul is imprisoned. And he brings up several key points, several important things for us that we should think about, especially as it relates to what we just talked about not offering excuses. Because Paul says to Timothy, "My son, do not be ashamed then of testifying to our Lord, nor of me, the prisoner." And this is so important because we can become ashamed. We can be worried about how people might judge us or look at us because of our faith. And it can cause us to turn away from God at times. It can cause us to make excuses. But as we heard, there's no excuse in Jesus' kingdom. We should embrace being ashamed. Because after all, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered the greatest shame that could be suffered in his time. To be hung as a public spectacle on the cross. To be hanging in front of people saying, "You want to cross us, the Roman Empire? You want to have some sort of other kingdom, even if you say it's a heavenly kingdom and not of this world? Here's what we'll do to you. We'll put you on display for everyone to see what will happen if you cross us." And so St. Paul tells Timothy never to be ashamed, never to be ashamed of the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says to share in the suffering for the gospel, in the power of God, and not to be ashamed. You see, we take it for granted, I think, so many times because we've heard this message, but it's beneficial for us to reflect on it and to understand just what the gospel did, just what St. Paul is doing here and how it upended Roman society over time. This idea that one would embrace suffering, that you would not be ashamed of someone who is a prisoner, that you would not be ashamed of a God who was publicly humiliated on the cross. How Christianity takes what is weak and considered weak in this world and uses it to express, as St. Paul says here, the power of God. And he reminds then Timothy of something that is extremely important for all of us to remember as we do this, as we upend the values of this world, as we turn weakness into strength. He says that we were called not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of His, in virtue of God's own purpose and the grace which He gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago. It's important for us to remember, brothers and sisters, as we partake in this great banquet, even today as we come to receive Holy Communion, that we partake of it because we have been invited by our Lord for His own purpose. For His own purpose. Because He wants His banquet. to be full. He does not want to be mocked. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is when the people of Israel are brought out of Egypt and they disobey God in the wilderness. And God says He's going to destroy them. He tells Moses He's going to get rid of them because they have disobeyed Him after what great things He had done for them. And Moses reasons with God and he says to God, if you do this, if you destroy them, it's going to make you look bad. That you brought them out of Egypt and you couldn't finish it into the promised land. And God says, you know what? You're right. I'm going to do it for me. So I don't look bad. Not for them, not because they deserve it, but because I don't want to look bad. And you see, brothers and sisters, that puts us in a humble position on purpose. That we not think too highly of ourselves. That God has chosen to love us. He has chosen to use us. Not because we are inherently worthy of it, but for His own purpose. And again, this should be freeing. It should not be depressing. We should not feel that we're somehow put down by it. But it's freeing, the fact that we're not perfect, the fact that we make mistakes, and yet God still uses us. So be not ashamed, brothers and sisters, as St. Paul tells Timothy. Because he says, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm sure that He, that God, is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. Paul reminding us that there will be that final day. There will be that day of judgment. There will be that day we hear about every year on Judgment Sunday, the separation of the sheep and the goats. And those of us who embrace the shame of Christ, those who embrace the weak of this world, those who embrace those who are despised and are kicked out of good society, and those of us who do so in a humble manner, recognizing that we are behaving as God first behaved towards us, we look forward to that day in which we join Him in that great and final banquet. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Praise the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
And He will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
And He will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
And He will unite them to His holy, catholic, and apostolic church.
Lord, have mercy.